Yo, welcome to another edition of Untold Stories, Untold Prison Stories with Suave Gonzalez and 7 a.m. Today we're going to hear from a young lady called Cheyenna. Listen to her story. This is a story of a young lady that was molested by her own father. What had the world have come to where fathers are now molesting their daughters? Listen to her story in her own words.
My name is Cheyenna Pettis. Today I'll be telling my story about my molestation and how it happened with my biological father. Growing up, my relationship with my dad was actually great. There was nothing that I could complain about. I grew up with my dad. I grew up without my biological mom. It was my stepmom for a majority of my life, basically. So when I was 11 years old, they had got into a confrontational argument. We went to a shelter. We were told from our dad, me and my brother, that my brother was going to sleep in one bed and me and my dad was going to sleep in one, which at that time, me being daddy's girl, and this is my superhero, I didn't think nothing of it. We went to bed. I remember trying to get up to go use the bathroom, and my dad's arm was around my waist to where when I tried to get up, I couldn't. So I was trying to kind of wiggle my way out of it so that I could get up to go use the bathroom. And I realized that he wasn't letting me go. And at this time, my butt was towards his the front of his part, so it was kind of like we were spooning, and it was just like, okay, what's going on here? So I finally did get to wiggle out and go to the bathroom. Nothing happened that night. The very next night, we were sleeping together again, and the same thing happened to where I needed to get up to use the bathroom. And this time, it was more like he wouldn't let me go, so it was the for this to happen the second night, it was just even more weird and even more confusing for me. He had his arm around my waist again, of course. At this time, though, he kind of moved his arm away from my waist and down to my vagina. So he was kind of rubbing up against it. And I'm like, I don't understand, you know, what's going on at this moment. There were so many different thoughts that ran through my mind. I was confused. I was hurt. I was sad. And it was just like, everything that I had in me, all the love I had, it was just like so confusing at this point. I just did not understand, you know, what was going on. I cried about it and I questioned him. What is this? What is going on? Can you stop? Why are you doing this? All of that. The next morning, I was so quiet. I did not know what to say. I wanted to tell my brother at that time because he was the only one that was there. The next morning when I knew that it was going to be, I had already thought in my head, like, later on tonight, I don't want to sleep with him. I want to sleep with my brother. Maybe my brother can switch me spots or something like that. But that's what led up to, you know, what happened, the start of it at the age of 11. That was the start. It happened in a shelter. The very next night, we got back to the room and it was time for us to go to sleep again. At this moment, I took it upon myself to go sleep with my brother on my own in hopes that my dad wouldn't say anything about it. I went and slept with my brother. I laid there for a while. I got a little comfortable and I fell asleep. I just remember getting woke up by my father and telling me that I needed to get back in the bed with him. So at that moment, just knowing what had happened, knowing you had touched me in a most inappropriate way, I was just like, I don't, in my mind, I felt like I couldn't say it out loud to him. I felt like I was being rebellious if I was going to say anything, or being disobedient by me talking back, basically. I followed what I was supposed to do, followed the directions. So I went back and slept with him. I wrapped the cover around me real, real tight because I just felt like maybe he couldn't get in. I couldn't go to sleep because it was bothering me so bad. We went to sleep. I dozed off. I finally went to sleep and I felt touching again on my breast, on my stomach, rubbing on my butt. He was telling me at that moment, because again, I had the cover wrapped around me, to unloosen the cover because he wanted some cover. He wanted to get up under the covers with me. I'm confused. I'm 11. I thought that I had to listen to everything that I was told to listen to. Loosen the cover up so he can get under there with me. But as I'm doing it, I'm just getting more scared and more scared and more confused and more sad and just not understanding as to what's going on. I remember just kind of sitting there and closing my eyes and letting it happen. At this point, I went to the bathroom. I remember it was pitch But I remember getting up, leaving out the door real quietly so that he wouldn't hear or I wouldn't wake my brother up at that time. And I went down the hallway. The shelter got all these different rooms. So I went all the way down to the bathroom where everybody had to share just this one bathroom. It was a girl's bathroom, of course, a men's bathroom too. So I went to the girl's bathroom and I just sat there and I cried. And I remember just taking a shower. And I sat in the shower for a long time and I just cried. I heard somebody come in there and I got out, I dried myself off. I had my clothes with me too. So I put some clothes on. At this point, I felt like I didn't want to be seen as far as my body type. I didn't want to like have tight fitting clothes on for him to even possibly look at me like he wanted to do anything. So I kind of felt like I needed to wear bigger and baggier clothes so that he wouldn't look at me in no type of way. So my brother asked me like, sister, are you okay? And I'm just steady telling him like, yeah. And I looked down because I was crying so much, my eyes was red. So I didn't want nobody to see my eyes being red or ask me what was going on because I felt like I could not talk. I could not tell anybody. He was telling me not to tell anybody. So I just had that in my mind, like, I can't tell anybody. I can't say anything. So I wasn't going to say anything to my brother either. He knew something was going on. He knew something was wrong because that's not, that wasn't my personality. I'm not like that. The touching, the molestation happened for a couple more weeks up until we left the shelter. Once we left the shelter, it was possibly not going to happen anymore. Because when we did leave the shelter, we actually ended up going back home to the family, to my stepmom and my other three siblings. So I felt happy. I felt relieved. I felt like everything was going to be okay at this point. At this moment, we were living in an apartment. It was a two-bedroom. One of the bedrooms was, of course, for my stepmom and my dad. The other bedroom was for the boys, and it was three boys and it was two girls. So the two girls were sleeping in the living room where the couch was. That was the normal thing for us. We didn't think nothing of it. We got back home and of course I was the one that was sleeping on the couch. Everything was okay because it didn't happen to me until we went to the shelter. It wasn't like anything was going on before we actually left the household. So I really felt like everything was going to be okay. And the night came, we were happy to be as a family again, back together. I felt like I could just go to sleep, nothing to worry about. I was okay. I did my normal thing. My normal routine was to go back to sleep. But I remember feeling someone sitting at where my feet were. And I woke up immediately like, this is not happening again. No, it's not. This is not happening again. We're home. Like, what's going on? You doing it here too? I turned to look and it was pitch black. But of course, I knew it was him. Because at this time, he started touching me again. At this moment, I got the cover on me, but not wrapped on around me as tight as I used to have it at the shelter. I was trying to pull it tighter and tighter to me to where he couldn't really touch me as much. But of course, he got it. And he would threaten me to, if you don't loosen this cover up, I'm going to do something to you. If you don't let me do this, I'm going to burn everything up that you have. You better be quiet. You better not tell anybody. Like, I would just get all the threats that you can think of. He would threaten me. It got more intense, you know, as the time went on. But I was getting touched from my breast. He would make me try to open my mouth to give him oral sex. I was so much of a kid that was, I'm standing on what I wanted to stand on. As far as if I don't want to let you do it, I don't want to let you do it. So I would fight back. My lips would be on his private part, but I wouldn't let it go in my mouth to where I was actually doing the oral sex. I wasn't doing it. So, because I now would cry. I would try to cry as quiet as I could because I didn't want my family to know what was going on. I did not want anybody to know what was going on. I didn't feel like I wanted to break the family up. I felt like everything at that point was my fault. So it would happen to me every single day. I think it was some days where it was skipped, where it wasn't happening on some days. But I was so traumatized, I would dream about it even on the days that it wasn't happening. It would happen almost every night. My father wasn't a drug user or a alcohol user. It started to be that way after a while though. Like, he did start to use drugs. He would leave and he would probably come back drunk. So when it did happen to me, I would smell the alcohol on him. And I felt like that's what would make anybody more aggressive. So the molestation became more aggressive. Would try to pull, you know, my pants down to actually have sex with me. I never would let that happen. Never, because I would fight back. And at this time when I did try to fight back, this is when the threatening things that he would do to me got even more intense. I would wear a lot of scars. I used to wear my hair wrapped a lot. So I would wear scarves. I would get different scarves. I used to like shoes a lot. I used to like clothes a lot. My threatenings came for, or the things that he did to me to make me do what he wanted me to do was burn my scars or throw my shoes out, throw something away that he knew that I liked or loved. Fighting against it, me being scared, me still being confused, me not want to break my family over, me not want to tell anybody, it was kind of like I had to be obedient all this time. I did not know how to tell anyone. Did I want to tell? Very badly. It will be times where, again, my stepmom and father would get into it and we would move out again. We went to my grandmother's house. It was a room, again, that we were in. It reminds you that every time anything would happen, if we had to move out and separate, it would always be me and my brother. And my brother, at this moment, when we got to my grandma's house, he slept in the front room. And this room that had two beds in it again, it was me and him that was in this room. And at this point, I'm like, Lord, this is about to happen to me. I have to tell somebody. I can't do this. I can't keep going through this over and over again. So we were sleeping in this room where it was two beds in it. He would never sleep in that bed. He would pretend like it just so when if somebody was to come in there, he would be in this other bed as if he's not doing anything. Of course, you got to act like you're not doing anything. Every single night, he would get on my bed. He would try to, again, make me do oral sex with him. He would try to have sex with me, and I was not letting it happen, so I would fight. He would choke me. He would probably pull my hair. I would go to school. Everything at this point, my mind was so messed up. I got so used to it as the years went on. I was traumatized. I was quiet. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And my dad was this type of person where everybody loved him. Didn't know what he was doing in the dark, but they loved him. He was a very funny person. He was also an energetic person, too, so you would never think in a million years that this is something that he will be doing. My friend at the time, when she would, you know, come over or whatever, she loved him herself. Like, she used to laugh and joke with him a lot too, and I just used to sit in the background like, I just don't know what he's doing. He's doing something horrible to me. You guys just do not even understand. At my grandma's house, so we were there for maybe about 3 months, and it would happen to me almost every day for that 3 months. Again, we went back home. We would always go back home. We went back home, same house. At this time, the more it would happen to me, the more quiet I would get. So the love for him turned into hate. I hated him. Anything, like my brothers and sisters, again, they didn't know what happened. He used to laugh and joke with us all the time. He used to tickle us all the time. We used to have little family movie sessions and joking, and he used to tell us all these stories and we would laugh. And before anything happened, I was volunteering to I was laughing and joking and playing with him too. The more that it happened, the more I got quiet. I would never laugh at anything he said. I wouldn't want to be, you know, involved in any of the movie nights or any, I didn't want to be involved with him at all. And my sisters and brothers would ask me, why am I acting like this? Even my stepmom at that point, she was asking like, do you think you too good for this family? Or are you growing up and you just want to be elsewhere? Because I would ask about my mom all the time. I would talk to my mom on the phone. I never could tell her either. One day in the house with my family, I finally told my brother and sister what happened. We got in one room where my brothers then slept at, actually, and I told them in there, I said, y'all, I got to tell y'all something. And they were all listening, like, okay, we're listening. Daddy, he's been doing some inappropriate things to me. He's been touching me. And they were like, what you mean touching? I'm like, touching me in the wrong way. Like, he touches me and abuses me. He will go run and hide behind a door or something just so they won't see him. And I would get quiet. I would turn the other way because, like I said, I was sleeping on the couch. So my face was towards where anybody to come from a room is in a hallway. They could see me from the hallway. So I would always turn the other way where my back is facing them so they wouldn't see me crying or whatever. I would go into detail about what he was doing. And the whole room, I remember the whole room getting quiet and mouths were dropped like, Daddy? Like, are you sure? Yes, he is. And that's why I hate him. That's why I don't ever say anything to him. If y'all notice, I don't, you know, volunteer to do anything anymore. I don't want to partake in anything that we do. No laughs, no jokes, no nothing. I hate this man. And at this moment, I told them not to tell anybody because I felt at the moment, at that time, if I could tell, y'all could probably start telling who I need to tell to get me out of this situation. I told them not to tell anybody. Anybody else that I tell, it's going to blow up out of proportion. He's probably going to go to jail. And at that moment, as a child, you be so confused because all I can do is remember him being my dad. And it was once upon a time where I did love this man. This is all that I know. I barely even knew my mom. I didn't even want to see him getting hurt, even though he was hurting me. I didn't want to see any of that. I didn't want to see the family broke up. I didn't want to see sad faces. I didn't want to have to deal with whatever we was going to have to deal with if I told the right person. So it would continue to happen to me to where I started to threaten him how I was going to tell. And he put a knife up to my throat, like, if you tell, I'm going to kill you. And I think that he started to believe that I was going to tell. I remember him putting on clothes all the time, even in the summertime. He would put on jogging pants. He would put on, like, t-shirts and put on long sleeve thermals under it. And I remember him telling me why he was doing that. He said, you said you was going to tell on me. And I know if you tell on me, I'm going to go to jail. He said it was going to be cold in the jail. So he was preparing himself to go to jail. But he would still do it every day as if maybe it was a chance that I wasn't going to tell. So he would still continue to touch me, still continue to threaten, still continue to do the same thing. And one day I told him, I said, if you let me go, get out of this house and go with my mom, I won't tell. And he didn't agree with it at that time. He didn't agree with it at that time at all, because I felt like he probably thought that if once she goes over there, she's going to tell and everything is going to be over with. So he didn't let me go for a while. And then I remember another day, him getting all dressed up as if he was really going to go to jail or something. So he got dressed up. He put all the clothes that he could put on. And he told me, you can go over there. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Because I think at this moment, he got more scared. And more scared that he was gonna go to jail. So he finally let me go. But before he let me go, I called my mom. I told myself that I was gonna tell her. I said, Mama, can I come and live with you? So she got quiet, like she was shocked that he even told me that I could go over there, because even during everything that was going on, the molestation that was going on, I would always ask him, like, if I could go over there to spend the night. He would always tell me no. I think he was scared at that time that I was gonna tell. And he didn't want me to tell, so he would never even let me go over there to spend a night. And I believe that it was because he didn't want me to tell. I told her on the phone, like, he's touching me. He's doing something to me. And at that very moment, I was like, it's over. I felt like everything was just, it was over. I was getting a relief. Me telling my mom, you would just think that I'm about to go get my daughter, because what do you mean this is happening? This has been happening all this time. I'm about to go get her. I'm coming to get her with the police, basically. It didn't happen. She didn't even come and get me right away. So again, I was shocked for what was going on with me with my own dad. And then when I finally told my mom how you didn't come busting any doors down, how you didn't come and get me immediately, how you kind of still had me waiting in there to come and get me, I was just so lost all the way around the board. Like, what is going on? So when I finally did get picked up and go over there, it's like my life got turned around. No, I wasn't getting molested no more, because of course he wasn't around, but I would still have dreams about it. I was still super traumatized about it. I started to become this super rebellious to where I wasn't even going to school anymore. And my mom was definitely different than my dad at the time. My dad was more strict than my mom. She was a lot more lenient, and I didn't know that, because this was actually the first time I have ever lived with my mom ever. I didn't know how she was. So she was more of a lenient person, so I felt like I could do anything that I wanted to do. I started skipping school. I started disrespecting her. I was stealing stuff from stores, clothes and shoes and everything. I got super rebellious. I was so messed up in the head. The police still wasn't called. Like, nobody called the police. I'm sure that my mom was telling people in the family. The police was not getting called at all. So he would still come around, and he would come around the family. And at this moment, I don't know what happened to my brain, but it was like, I wanted to go back to the days it used to be where I did love my dad before this happened. So I tried to blank everything that did happen to me from him out of my mind. So I just kind of continued. I started to build this relationship again with him. When he did used to come around, I started to talk to him again. I started to, you know, the love started rekindling again. And then it was just like, it's so confusing as a person outside, on the outside looking in. It's so confusing. Like, how could you even, I don't know. I still till this day wouldn't even know.
Hi, I'm Brendan Boyle. You know, I'm proud to represent our hardworking families in Congress. I want you.
But as I grew a little older, I knew that it wasn't the right thing. So I started to be real, you know, standoffish with them at this moment. It's still, like I said, the police still wasn't called. The police still was not called at all until like maybe a year or two after me moving out of the house. I was so rebellious as a child. I got pregnant at 15 by somebody that was 3 years older than me. He was a grown already. He was 18, not that much older than me. But I got pregnant at 15 years old. I had a miscarriage then too. But I was with somebody. I had moved out from with my mom at 15 years old and lived with the person that had got me pregnant. I was not in a good relationship at this moment. I didn't know who to love, how to love, get the correct type of love, how to even raise kids when I finally did have them, because I was just all over the place. So I can tell you right now today that I'm in a better place, definitely. I still feel like I'm super traumatized. I wrote a book about it. Like, I got a book right now today about going into detail about what happened to me from 11 to 14. It's on Amazon. It's been on Amazon since April. I had a book release October 29, but I'm so much in a better place right now to where now I feel like the cherry on the top for me will be to go visit him face to face. He's been locked up since 2007, I want to say. Since 2007. And today, of course, it's 2023, so I'm going to go visit him face to face. I feel like that is going to be the cherry on the top for me. I feel like I'm a very successful person now. I'm a mother of three kids that, you know, that's doing very good by my kids. Like I said, I still feel like I do still have them times where I cry and I still think about it. Not as much. Even writing the story, I feel like writing the story was healing for me. It kind of mended a lot of what I was going through. But the reason for me wanting to go visit is just to kind of put the cherry on the top of everything. Just kind of let everything be what it is and just finally just heal from it. I feel like this is going to be the end of my healing journey. At this time today, I wrote a book about my life, going into detail about what happened to me from 11 years old to 14 years old. My book is on Amazon and it's called Truth Be Told. So me releasing this and letting everybody know what happened and telling the world what happened to me, it definitely made a difference. So life for me right now is a lot better. I talk to my children all the time about, if anything, I don't want you guys to feel like you do not ever have to hide anything from me. You guys can tell me whatever, feel comfortable with telling me anything that you want to tell me. Because of, you know, what happened to me, I just feel like I have to be more on it. But life for me right now, it's a whole lot better. I definitely feel a whole lot better. I still tend sometimes to go back. But for me, it's going back to how, you know, where I was before, comparing to how I am now. So that's mainly the reason for me going back. I wish that somebody had been more aware or asking me questions like, is everything okay? Even at that moment, I don't necessarily know if I would have even told them. At the end of the day, it was my dad. That was who was supposed to protect me. So that is who should have asked me, is everything okay? Do you need anything? I need to make sure that my child is okay. So that at that moment, I felt like, who was I going to ask that? Who was supposed to ask that? Who was I going to say anything to but him? And for me to feel like I had to be protected from him, it's confusing for a child. It's super traumatizing. It's crazy. Going back, I felt like he was that dominant person. He was that protector. He was that father figure. He's the type of father figure that I feel like I want my kids to have, because just, you know, to put everything in one, just to be so super traumatized from that and not understanding what love is supposed to be, the type of relationships you're supposed to have as a friend, as a family, as a person that you're in a relationship with, it kind of transpired from that to now where I don't have good father figures for my kids. I have two kids' fathers. I have three kids. Two of them got the same father. One of them got her own father. And neither one of them are good for my kids. And I feel like it came from that, me not understanding or knowing what I'm supposed to have, the type of love I'm supposed to have for myself or even for my kids. So I feel like the dominancy was going to come from him. So when I do get emotional, I get emotional about me not being able to really have that person to go to as a person that I can get advice from, or that person that could, you know, talk to me about what it is that I need, or if I'm okay, or make me feel comfortable when I am having a conversation with him. I still feel like he could have been that person. So that's where my emotions come from. I want to do a lot more with this. Like, I want to take it a lot more farther for younger females, even, you know, older women, even women as adults now. Just, I want to be a spokesman for churches, schools, anything. Now that's kind of where I want to take things.